Today on Maine Calling, getting your home ready for winter. Do you stack hay bales around your foundation every fall to keep the draft out? Close off the upstairs? Shrink wrap your windows? Most of us have taken steps to button up our house in preparation for the winter heating season. And there are lots of more modern steps we can take to improve efficiency. Keep warm air in and cold air out. I'm Keith Shortall, and today on the program we'll explore some of the most affordable and effective ways you can winterize your home and keep your heating bills under control. We'll also find out where you can get assistance in planning and executing those changes and possibly offsetting some of the costs of heating your living space during the coldest months. And as always, we want to hear from you, preparing your home for winter. Maine Calling is coming right up.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Maine Farmland Trust, working this summer to purchase and protect the historic Morris Farm in Wiscasset. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org. By Welch and Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welchforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Maine Calling. Winter approaches, and with it, colder temperatures and higher heating bills. Today, we'll hear about ways to offset some heating costs. Joining us, Andy Meyer, Senior Program Manager with Efficiency Maine. Sarah Johnson, Manager of HEAP, that's Home Energy Assistance Program at Maine Housing. And Jason Parent is the Executive Director and CEO of the Aroostook County Action Program. We invite you to join the conversation. As always, email talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call. The number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. And we'll talk this hour about some steps that can be taken, both some cases for little money, some cases for a little more money, to improve efficiency in our homes this winter. But there is a sense of urgency today, as we should note here at the top, about what's being characterized as a looming crisis this winter. And we're always careful to use, to save the word crisis for applicable situations. But Jason Parent, you would say that this qualifies. Can you explain what's happening and about the session that's going on today?
Certainly, Keith, and pleased to be here with you. I just left here in Holton. I'm at our Holton office where I left one of three energy crisis forums that we're co-hosting with the United Way of Aroostook here in Aroostook County. We'll be in Presque Isle this afternoon at 2 o'clock at our customer service center near Walmart, and then in Fort Kent on Friday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the city hall there, or town office there. And what we're really doing is engaging our community, both community members who are welcome to attend, but municipalities, faith-based organizations, and other social service organizations, in a conversation about what we really are defining as a crisis this coming winter. And I think, having come off of a public health emergency and the like, and seeing additional benefits that were provided, home energy assistance program customers in the two previous heating seasons, 2021 and 22 and 23, received a supplemental benefit in each of those seasons. That did not happen last year, but through some additional funding through LD3, we were able to get a number of households to have a credit on their fuel vendor account. And the reality is, all of that has gone away. And not only has that gone away, but because more households, because of the cost of living, have come to rely on programs like the Home Energy Assistance Program, the pie is being separated up even further. So just as an example, in the heating season prior to the pandemic, the 2019-2020 heating season, an Aroostook County average heating benefit was $722 for a household. This season, that's projected for an average household to be $550. And if you look at the number of households that we actually qualified for the Home Energy Assistance Program here in Aroostook County. In that season, we were looking at just over 4,700. In the last season, here alone in Aroostook County, we certified over 7,500 households as qualifying for the Home Energy Assistance Program. So there's a much greater demand on the system, and we've returned to pre-pandemic level funding. So if you look at a household, an average household in Aroostook County, their energy burden, their out-of-pocket cost energy burden prior to the pandemic, inclusive of the heat benefit, was $1,648. I should say, factoring out the heat benefit, this season we're projecting that that average cost will be just under $3,000, so about $2,900. So you're looking at a huge increase and something that they haven't had to shoulder really the past three seasons.
And so in addition to the sort of the dwindling benefits and the increased demand, on top of that, as you mentioned, the cost of living. So you have inflation now making food costs higher, all other living expenses higher, and that is the other vector in this perfect storm.
Yeah, it is really. I mean, we're providing a cost calculator, a pre and post pandemic comparison for the Home Energy Assistance Program, but we've added statistics on there like the average cost of weekly groceries for a family of four back in the 2019-2020 heating season was $196.15. The average cost of weekly groceries for a family of four in Aroostook County right now is $300, so a 33% increase there. If you look at the Social Security benefit for an average household in Aroostook County, it was $1,471 back in 2019-2020. It's $1,782 currently. So you haven't even kept up for a household relying on Social Security, just in the cost of groceries alone, let alone heating. So it's really very sobering. And so the partners that we met with here in Houlton just this morning, and our agency, are very concerned about what's going to happen with households this winter without any other recourses at this point.
And we'll talk about what the possible recourses are there that you're hinting at. But just to knuckle down a little bit here on who we're talking about, because in some cases we're talking about, you know, which is a few hundred dollars, you know, here and there. But you're saying that, and it says in your materials that this is a pending crisis not only for low-income households, but for moderate household income households as well?
Yeah, sure, Keith. One of the certain benefits of a lot of awareness throughout the pandemic of the challenges that vulnerable households face is understanding that even households that used to be in the margins that don't qualify for programs like the Home Energy Assistance Program were certainly suffering as a result of inflation and other cost factors, cost of living factors. And so as part of LD3, the legislature passed additional funding to provide what was called the Winter Energy Relief Program. And we helped, we saw our own customer service roles swell from about 14,000 here in Aroostook County to 17,000, in large part because of the Winter Energy Relief Program, where we were able to work with customers we typically can't reach because they're just over income for us. So that program provided an $800 one-time benefit, not in the most recent season, but several people qualified for it later in the season because it wasn't passed by the legislature until January of 2023. The funds weren't accessible to us until late February, early March. So we were actually proactive about ensuring that all of those dollars were spent. Anything that wasn't spent by June 30th would be clawed back by the state for the general fund, and we didn't want that to happen. That money was accessible and available to Aroostook County households. So at some point in late May and June, we actually proactively reached out to households in Aroostook County, some were over income, some that were heat qualifying households that we knew were vulnerable, and got those dollars to their fuel vendors. So we actually had some that started last season with a credit on their fuel vendor account, and that's certainly not the case this year. And we're looking at the same mitigating factors, if not greater, in terms of the household finance challenges. Hmm.
Sarah Johnson, you heard what's going on in Aroostook County. Let's expand that to the rest of the state here. You're the manager of HEAP for Maine Housing. Is this a crisis, or do you understand what Jason is talking about in terms of this perfect storm?
Oh, I definitely see what he is talking about, and I do think that it is a statewide situation. It is a statewide crisis. I do think that Jason is in, certainly a different area that experiences winter faster or earlier, and it lasts longer. And I do think that there is certainly a reduction in the amount of any supplemental funds coming from the legislature or from any sort of other funding, federal funding. So we're really left as a state with the home energy assistance, the LIHEAP block grant, and all of the funding, the Emergency Crisis Intervention Program, as well as regular benefits, are coming out of that one block of money this year. And so, we certainly are aware that there will be challenges for people to heat their home, and will be shouldering more of that burden than they have in the past few years.
So, and I, not to be cynical, but I've been in the news business here a few years, and it seems like every year there is this thing that plays out where there's the cry, we don't have enough LIHEAP funds, and then suddenly at the 11th hour, one of our senators sends out a press release saying, "Look, I've got more money, and here it comes." Now, I realize there's nothing negative, it's just the way that this thing works. But is that wh what we're aiming for here? Is that we're trying to get some sort of rustle the leaves here to get some the attention of our delegation to take some action?
I do think our delegation does take action. I do think that there's always a cry for more assistance, especially with those cold weather states that are dependent on, oil or kerosene or those sorts of fuels for heating their homes for a long period of time. So I know that it would be really nice if there were a magic wand and we could always rustle the trees and get more funding. I don't know that that's going to happen, just based on other events that are happening this year.
Yeah, Jason, though, is that part of what you're hoping these meetings might assist?
Certainly, I would say so, Keith. As a community action agency, advocacy is not one of the areas that we're directly engaging in. We are recipients of these federal funds, and we steward them and take that very seriously. But we want to make sure our community members understand, give them the opportunity to have a voice, to give voice to the very real concerns that they will be facing in a timely way. Altogether, too often, these sort of the use of the word crisis and the actual challenge that we're all facing isn't really evident until December or January, when we're already well into the heating season, especially here in Aroostook County. And what ends up happening is people do, out of desperation, end up calling around, which is why we have municipal leaders, faith-based leaders, fellow social service agency leaders here, so that we're all working collaboratively. We shared with the folks in the room today that because of the cap and the number of applications that we're going to be able to certify here in Aroostook County, as is the case in every county in the state of Maine this year, that it's important that people do get the documentation in that we're required to ensure that they have as part of their certification process, because oftentimes that's sort of where things fall apart and where folks go what we call fuel shopping and looking for additional resources of emergency fuel. I think that the first true test, as it always is here in Aroostook County, is just how cold a fall that we're going to have. The month of October, you would think that January, February would be the more precarious months in terms of emergency fuel for us. The actual most challenging month in our agency for emergency fuel is coming right up in October, when people have no resources yet. The first heat benefits haven't been released, and typically until the end of November, and the federal emergency program doesn't kick in until November 1st. People are really at that point without recourse. And unfortunately, we usually try to go in with some donor dollars as a head of steam, if you will, to service households in October. And we just don't have the resources that we've had in the past because the tail end of the last heating season was especially difficult for many of our households, even though the winter was a little bit warmer than usual here in the county. So,
pending no change here, though, there's people who'll be in trouble. I have just maybe 30 seconds before break here, but what happens to those folks who they call you in desperation? I don't have any heating oil. You don't have any way to get them oil. What happens? Do they run out or does someone step in? Just help us understand.
They run out. They will run kerosene cans to and from the local fuel station to make do. And in some cases, as the heating season goes on and the weather gets colder, they will have frozen pipes that will be devastating to their home condition. There really are a number of challenges that happen with households who experience that. And on the other side of the break, we can certainly talk about some of those mitigating challenges with funding running out in the HEAT program in the last 2 years, with what's called the Central Heating Improvement Program, which helps to fix and replace those systems that come down because either they've run out of fuel or they're just antiquated.
Sure. Okay, great. We are going to take a quick break, as we said, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. The number to join this conversation is 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today we're talking about getting your home ready for winter, from fixing drafts to finding help with heating bills. My guests are Jason Parent, Executive Director and CEO of the Aroostook County Action Program, Sarah Johnson, Manager of HEAP at Maine Housing, and Andy Meyer, Senior Program Manager for Efficiency Maine. Share your comments and questions. Email talk@mainepublic.org, comment on social media, or give us a call, the number 1-800-399-3566. I want to turn here to Andy Meyer, who we just introduced. As we head into this, you know, from a structural standpoint, we have all kinds of housing stock here. Who do you see as most vulnerable for these issues, for efficiency, weatherization costs? You know, from mobile home residents, or is it old drafty farmhouses? Who's particularly vulnerable?
Well, it's a mixture. And you picked out a couple housing types that are very, very difficult. Mobile homes, we can't insulate the basement because they don't have one. We can't insulate the attic because they usually don't have one. The walls are made thin so the house can be transported easily. So insulating mobile homes is very, very difficult. We've got a mobile home heat pump program targeting, at least you can heat those homes more efficiently with a heat pump than you can with kerosene. So that's one target area that we worry about is mobile homes. You mentioned the large, sprawling, old farmhouses. Those can be a challenge energy-wise as well, because they've got leaks all over the place and they're tough to insulate and it can be tough to heat. So the nice thing is, for all housing stocks in Maine, efficiencymaine.com, we've got good information on tips on how the no-cost tips, low-cost tips, and some big payback investments to help people decide what's right for them. We've got a number of calculators on our website, places where you can find the best prices in the state on efficient water heaters, and with information on financing. So I think everybody's at risk, but it also depends on the occupant's financial situation. But mobile homes and large sprawling farmhouses are particular risk.
So, and we've of course seen the emergence, of the heat pump as the, you know, center stage in this landscape right now, for reasons that we all understand. We've heard a lot about it, but is there still some confusion or reluctance on the part of homeowners now that we've got a few years of experience under our belts? I can say that, for example, in my case, I installed one. I love it. It's great. But my electricity bills, you know, tripled, even quadrupled. And that may be how I'm using it. I don't know. But there is the sort of other side of the great story of the heat pumps that is emerging, from person to person. Is it still easy to make the case from where you sit for heat pumps?
Yes, if you've got a typical house paying $4,000 a year for propane, that same house would cost about $3,000 a year in oil and about $2,000 a year in heat pumps. You bring up a good point, Keith, that heat pumps, like combustion systems, their saving is impacted by the user's habits. So we've got on efficiencymaine.com heat pump user tips. You can actually cut the cost of a heat pump in half by using it in an ideal fashion. And one of the big messages we try to get out to heat pump owners is to set it and forget it. So we're all raised with combustion systems, and their combustion systems are good to turn down as much as you can whenever you can. So at night, turn the heat down is a good thing on a combustion system, or if you're gone for a weekend, turning it down, that saves money on a combustion system. On a heat pump, it actually can increase the bill because they pay more money reheating. The heat pumps take more electricity to reheat a house than they do to maintain a house. So heat pump user tips are available on efficiencymaine.com to make sure we want people to get the most savings possible.
So Keith, if I could, I just want to step in here because our agency right now is sitting on a 600 household waiting list for individuals who are interested and have said to us, we would like a heat pump in our home. Unfortunately, the state dollars are not being directed for the low income people through agencies like ours, which I think is critically important at this point and to be able to connect those households with them. When the governor first launched this challenge several years ago, our agency installed 100 of the initial 300 heat pumps that were installed statewide into low income households. And I'm concerned that there's not equal access. I do serve as a subcommittee for equity on the Climate Council, as well as on the heating work group for the Climate Council. And I've echoed these challenges and these concerns that I have in terms of the equity that we're able to be able to connect low-income households with these, and they just can't afford, unfortunately, to go through the initial startup cost and get the rebate thereafter. So I do want to give voice to that, but also share with you that there's a high level of interest. We've had to stop taking names at this point because the waiting list has gotten so ridiculously long. And I also want to go back to what was talked about in terms of weatherization of homes. Part of the challenge that we faced as a result of the Home Energy Assistance Program running out of funds here in the state of Maine in the last couple of years is those leftover dollars would typically roll over into a couple of programs, one of them being the weatherization program that is not connected directly to the Department of Energy. It's the HEAP weatherization program that allowed us to be able to do more homes. And then we were hopeful with the bipartisan infrastructure law passing that we could receive as much as four times the typical funding here in Aroostook County to weatherize homes. Unfortunately, the devil was in the details on that one. And we have a cap of $8,600 to weatherize a home, where our weatherizations in Aroostook County with large old farmhouses can range anywhere between $12,000 and $16,000. So we're literally now going through the list and cherry picking homes that we feel that we can do a weatherization on for under $8,600 in order to meet the standards that we need to make for energy efficiency. So this is a very challenging environment, even on the weatherization side, and one would not think so given the additional dollars that have been allocated to programs like these.
Sure, a couple of good points. Do either of Sarah or Andy want to respond? Go ahead, Andy.
Jason, you raise a great point, and the CAP agencies is the best place to go for fully funded upgrades to homes. That's sometimes the only option available to people. Efficiency Maine does have programs for low-income people where we'll pay 80% of the cost up to $8,000 for insulation, plus another 80% up to $8,000, the cost of a heat pump. We're taking reservations right now for a ducted heat pump for manufactured homes or mobile homes, where homeowners can get a heat pump installed with no upfront cost, and they pay $50 a month for 50 months, or they can pay $2,000 upfront as an alternative. So it's not as attractive as what you folks, the critical support that you guys offer, but for some people it can be make a big difference. Again, the $50 a month for 50 months with no upfront cost is one way to get people from mobile homes into saving money right away.
I want to bring in the perspective of the fuel industry. Now on the line with us is Charlie Summers, President and CEO of Maine Energy Marketers Association. Charlie Summers, welcome.
Good morning, Keith. I'm really glad to join you this morning. I've been enjoying the conversation.
Well, we'd like to hear your perspective. Yours is a trade group for the gas and heating fuel industry here, and which you promote. And I'm wondering, so when you're listening to this conversation, what's your take on behalf of your members about this sort of crisis that's been described?
Well, first of all, Maine Energy Marketers Association is an industry trade group made up of about 300 members across the state, members who sell heating oil, sell propane, they install heat pumps, they service heat pumps. They're really, you know, kind of a full HVAC organization. And we also, and this is one of the things I wanted to mention based on the conversation, especially as it relates to heat pumps, we also have a technical education center in Brunswick that we train all of the HVAC technicians, most all of the HVAC technicians in the state. And, you know, our probably our most popular class, and we work with Efficiency Maine on this, is the heat pump installation and service classes. We run about seven of those a year right now. We're actually trying to run more. And you may have seen an article recently in the Portland Press Herald just talking about the shortage of technicians and the difficulty. And I heard someone a moment ago talking about the waiting list just in terms of trying to either get their heat pump serviced or installed. There is a somewhat of a dearth of installation technicians. And my organization, Maine Energy Marketers Association, through the Maine Technical Education Center, is working hard to train up as many technicians as we can. Because, you know, my members, we, like you mentioned, we sell heating oil, we sell propane, but we're also very involved and very deeply involved in heat pumps and their sales and installation. And my members are often individuals who have been in their communities for generations, and they're very vested in their communities. They know who their customers are and always work with their customers. You know, talking a moment ago just about the difficulty in funding, you know, Maine Energy Marketers Association is always working with the Maine Congressional delegation, advocating for increased LIHEAP funding. And our members, if they have customers that need help and need to be put, say, on a budget program, oftentimes many of my members will have those budget programs. And really the key, I think, to take out of this conversation is to be communicative, meaning if an individual is concerned about their ability to meet their bills, whether it's heating oil, propane, or even paying for their heat pumps, oftentimes our members will set up a payment plan for them so they can budget and know just exactly what their costs will be over the course of the heating season. And if your listeners, if your listeners are interested in attaining a payment plan or a budget program, I would encourage them to call their fuel retailer as soon as possible, explain to them what their situation is, and ask if, in fact, they can put a budget plan together.
So the worst thing to do is just hide and pretend, you know, not pay it and hope that you don't hear from them. Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, this time of year, I don't know this, but I've talked to my local fuel dealer. It's hard for fuel dealers, right? They get desperate calls. They're sort of villainized in some cases. And they have to collect from people who may not have it. It's not easy for them. And you're saying there are ways that they can assist in cases where people really need help.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, and really the point I would love to drive is if someone feels that they're worried about being able to meet their heating bills over the course of this heating season, don't wait. Call your fuel retailers now. Explain the situation to them. And although I can't speak for every single business, most will work with their customers because, like I said, the people I represent, they're generational businesses. They've been in their communities for a very long time. They're very involved in their schools, and they're involved in local government and so forth. So they understand and know their customers. They often are able to really sort of budget their, using the word budget, just in terms of making sure they have enough fuel available for their customer base. So they have a pretty good idea of what a specific account may need. So it's important for individuals to call their local fuel dealer and just talk to them and explain where they are. And 99% of the time, they're able to work something out.
All right, Charlie Summers, thank you so much. Charlie Summers, President and CEO of the Maine Energy Marketers Association. I want to go to the phones again, and we're going to bring in John Paradise. Oh, no, John is gone, I think. John, try to call back if you can. Any reaction to what you heard Charlie Summers say from our panel, or any thoughts?
I mean, certainly, Keith, our agency works very closely with the fuel vendors in Aroostook County. We're very fortunate to have good working relationships. One of the areas that does become challenging for us, and we certainly understand that this is part of the reality of the cost of doing businesses in some of our rural communities, when somebody calls in a fuel emergency and they need to dispatch a truck out to a rural community, and that's not the typical day of delivery in that community, that there's a fuel vendor charge that goes with that. And so that takes the actual dollar amount off the top of any benefit that we're able to provide. And that's eaten up in the cost of that delivery. So that oftentimes becomes one of the challenges for us. So we try to work as closely as we can with customers who call us in emergency and the fuel vendor to see if it can't be arranged on a day that they're delivering to those more rural, remote communities. And some of them are very gracious. Some of the members, a lot of the smaller fuel vendors in the state actually have quite a heart for this work. And do oftentimes waive that fee in some cases, which is really above and beyond, and certainly want to acknowledge that to Charlie and appreciate that work on behalf of the fuel vendors in the state.
All right, we have John Parrott. Yeah, go ahead. Did you want to say?
No, I was going to say that, you know, as much as Jason is saying thank you to the, you know, fuel vendors, from Maine Housing's perspective, it's wonderful that the CAP agencies do work to develop those partnerships for those customers that do find themselves in crisis. And I can't say enough that the relationship building that they do with the oil vendors to also mitigate some of those delivery costs as well is very important and very appreciated.
Yeah, Andy, we're going to get to some heat pump questions, I promise. But right now we're going to go back to John Paradise, a senior Vice President of Communication with Town & Country Federal Credit Union. John, are you on the line?
Yes, I am on the line. Good morning, Keith. And, you know, it's a fascinating conversation, and it's a topic that, you know, unfortunately is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts because, you know, at the financial services level, we hear, you know, this is a real issue for a lot of our members, and it comes around year after year. And, you know, we're grateful that there are so many great organizations like, you know, some of the ones you have on today. And, of course, Charlie Summers, really, they have so many great hearts throughout the state. But, you know, paying for fuel and paying to heat their home is something that we hear from members all the time as a challenge.
So what are then some options, I guess, for obtaining credit to maybe pay for oil?
Well, based on our feedback that we've heard from them.
John?
Yes, I'm here.
There you go. Sorry, you dropped out. We'll give it another
Sorry
try.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
We've developed a heating fuel loan that has special terms, 5.99%, and we've spread it out over the course of 12 months that somebody can borrow up to $5,000 to cover heating costs. And this has been, in a lot of cases, a lifesaver for people. And it can really take the edge off of trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to heat their homes. So we also have relationships with different, you know, heating dealers that offer special discounts, et cetera. So this is an ongoing challenge, especially with older housing stock in the state. And, you know, the heating fuel loan that we offer is just one way that we can help, at least in the short term, people heat their homes.
All right. John Paradise, Senior Vice President of Town and Country Federal Credit Union. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take another quick break. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the show, all about home heating and paying home heating bills. My guests are Sarah Johnson with Maine Housing, Andy Meyer with Efficiency Maine, and Jason Parent with the Aroostook County Action Program. Join the conversation. The number is 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post on social media. As promised, I'm going to Andy Meyer now with some heat pump questions because we're getting a few. Talk a little bit about, I think you mentioned this, that there is a bit of an art to find to this delicate dance between the heat pump and the say an oil boiler. You know, we're all familiar with our old furnace and how to use it. The heat pump, though, adds this unusual kind of, as I said, delicate dance that you have to get to make both work at their most efficient. Can you just talk generally about how to find that balance?
Yes, there's a couple different dimensions. One is if you have a house that has both a heat pump and a combustion system, you're best off separating them. Move the boiler thermostat out of range of the heat pump. Let the heat pump heat its room and disable the ducts or the radiators in the room where the heat pump is. Let the heat pump heat that room. It'll do a fabulous job and cut your expenses. And let the boiler or furnace heat the rest of the house. That's if we talk about the dance, if you have two systems. What we're rebating now is whole home heat pumps. We're issuing a rebate every 15 minutes. People are leaving, switching their entire houses to heat pumps. And that's a lot easier. You don't have to move thermostats. Then you've got a whole house that's heat pump only, and that's where you cut your costs in half compared to propane or cut oil is about 50% more expensive than heat pumps. And then there's the dance I mentioned before with heat pumps. The best way to use them is the opposite of what we were all raised. The best way to use a heat pump is to set it and forget it. It's a lot easier just to turn it on in the fall and turn it off in the spring. So there are a couple options that we have with like programmable thermostats that we don't need with heat pumps.
Yeah.
So that's,
I know there's been an emphasis on this whole house heating heat pump thing. It can run very expensive if you've got to heat a large space. It might be upwards of, you know, four heat pumps. I was quoted something like $24,000 for that, which is way out of range. And certainly that's not an answer for low income folks, right? If they're in a big house.
Yeah, if you're in a big house, regardless of your income, it's tough to change any system. From changing to any new heating system is difficult because you have to distribute, not only generate a lot of heat, you need to distribute it. So heat pumps, the most common heat pump is a wall unit, and there's a line set, a copper line that goes to each indoor unit. Putting one in every room of a large farmhouse could be cost prohibitive. And so for those type homes, a bunch of small rooms, people often use a heat pump with a ducted system with just one or two indoor units, one or two outdoor units, and the heat is distributed from room to room via ductwork like a furnace. That's a better option for large homes with multiple small rooms. If you have a open concept house, you might be able to get by with one or just two indoor units with heat pumps. So it depends on the house. And on efficiencymaine.com, we've got 600 or 700 independent installers listed. You can give them a call. Most of them will come out at no charge and take a walk through your house and make a recommendation and give you a quote as to what it would cost. And for low and moderate income people, we have rebates of $6,000 to $8,000, and we'll finance the rest. So that'll help people who are in a pickle cash flow wise. And also on efficiencymaine.com, we have our information on federal tax credits, which can also help reduce the cost.
Okay, great. Let's go. Let's take some calls now. We'll go to Paul in Palermo. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me. I'm curious about more about the weatherization program. I've been on waiting list for years in Waldo County. I've called many, many times, and probably over three-quarters of the time of the call, I don't even get return calls. I have written to Maine State Housing, and lo and behold, someone was here within 2 weeks, and that was in, like, March. I haven't heard a word since. I mean, this is, you know, why am I continuing to do the try for a program that doesn't seem to be working?
Yeah, sorry, Paul, this was all through Maine Housing, you're saying?
Well, Maine Housing, but I've been going through Waldo CAP.
Okay, I see. Well, we don't have Waldo CAP here to defend themselves, but...
Well, certainly, yeah. Certainly, Keith, I can address the process as it relates to a CAP agency. So first, applying for the Home Energy Assistance Program is critical. It's your portal. It's your gateway into the weatherization program and a number of other programs. Each year, through the applications from the Home Energy Assistance Project, a list is produced of what homes are seen as the most vulnerable, and those are the homes budget permitting that we are to tackle to do weatherizations, a comprehensive weatherization. For example, here in Aroostook County, we've been averaging about 60 home weatherizations a year. And that list varies. It doesn't change drastically, but it moves each year based upon a number of calculations, including the vulnerability of people in the household, the amount of energy that's being used, the size of the dwelling in the complex. So that's something that I think it's critical for folks to understand, is that we're not just sitting on a waiting list saying this is arbitrary. It's actually quite a science in terms of who's up for a weatherization. So that might explain some of the delay to this particular individual, in terms of we receive requests all the time, and folks who are in the Home Energy Assistance Program are automatically on the weatherization list. Here in Aroostook County, we have well over between 3,000 and 4,000 households that are technically on the waiting list for a weatherization program. And again, as I said, it's going to be about 60 a year that we're able to do.
So advice for Paul, just be persistent or follow. What would you say?
Yeah, and maybe ask that specific question. Do you know where I am on the list in terms of the priority list to receive a weatherization, so that expectations can be understood by parties on both sides to say, is it looking like I'm going to be on the list this year? Again, as I expressed earlier, we were very hopeful that some of those funds and the expanded funds through the bipartisan infrastructure law were going to allow us to do more homes. Andy described the challenges in terms of the technicians for the availability of technicians on the heat pump side. I would say that's exacerbated a tenfold in terms of contractors that are able to do weatherization work for community action agencies across the state. And then add in the factor that we're looking at the new the guidelines for how much dollars we can spend in a home under bill. It's going to be a different world out there for all of us in terms of homes that are going to rise up on the list and those that are going to have to wait as a result of simply the size of the home and the number of dollars that need to be invested into the project.
Okay, Paul, best of luck. We're going to go to Lynn now in Brunswick. Hi, Lynn. Hold on. Now let's try you again. Lynn, hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi, yes, thank you. I have a double wide, and it's an open concept, and I was wondering if a heat pump would be all right to put in there. Right now I have electricity and propane, and the propane is an exorbitant amount of money I've been spending every winter, so I was wondering if the heat pump would be better.
Andy?
On efficiencymaine.com, we've got a compare cost of heating calculator, and you can put in what you're spending for electricity and propane, and it'll give you what you could expect to pay using heat pumps. Generally speaking, heat pumps are about a third or a fourth the cost of electric heat and half the cost of propane heat. So if you're using electricity and propane, those are the two most expensive ways to heat a home. So heat pumps may make a lot of sense. If you're in a double wide, I'm assuming that's forced hot air, I would go to the same efficiencymaine.com contractor locator and find contractors near you and ask them to come out and give you some price. We've got rebates for low and moderate income up to, we have $4,000 rebates for heat pumps for any income, up to $6,000 for moderate income, and up to $8,000 for low income. Plus, as I mentioned, for low and moderate, we also have financing. So you could estimate your savings on efficiencymain.com, and you could find a contractor to give you pricing on efficiencymain.com. And we would love to help you make a transition to a heating system that would save you some money.
Let's bring in State Representative Chris Kessler of South Portland. Welcome.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, great. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted the public to understand that there's some really great opportunities to get help with heating system upgrades as well as insulation and air sealing at their home. One of the changes that we made in the legislature recently was expanding eligibility for main care for children. So if you, for example, live in the greater Portland area and you're a family of four that makes up to $95,000 per year, you're now eligible for main care for your children. Because you're eligible for main care for your children, you're also eligible for up to $8,000 in rebates through Efficiency Maine for air sealing and insulation, as well as $8,000 for transitioning over to heat pumps. So a lot of folks don't realize that this opportunity is out there, but we want to make sure that we're trying to give as much help as possible to the average folks that need it. And this is a really great opportunity for people to learn about.
All right. Thank you. That's State Representative Chris Kessler. Yeah, Andy.
I just wanted to thank Representative Kessler for bringing that up. We've never had such generous rebates, and we've been talking about heat pumps, but insulation, hopefully people have heard me say that as well. Insulation is going to save you money. It's also going to make you more comfortable going into Maine winters. It could reduce or eliminate challenges like frozen pipes or ice dams or drafty rooms. So there's hopefully people are hearing that there are a lot of options available. This is not our first Maine winter, and we know how to help people. We've got low cost tips, no cost tips. We've got some large payback opportunities. You've heard from the CAP agencies and Maine Housing. We've got fuel assistance and in limited numbers, but free weatherization. Efficiency Maine, we've got opportunities, as Representative Kessler pointed out, for very, very aggressive rebates, 40, 60, 80% of the cost, and financing for the balance. And we have hundreds and hundreds of contractors across the state to help people. So everything from low cost to no cost, big payback, and you can find a way to get to most of that via efficiencymaine.com.
We have a lot of callers backed up, and I'm sorry that I knew there would be interest in this, but we're just sort of running out of time, and I want to give a chance for Jason Parent to, end where we began and tell us what it is you're actually hoping will happen from the series of crisis meetings in Aroostook County.
So first and foremost, we're really wanting to raise awareness and to say to folks, this is going to be a tough winter, and how do we, in true Aroostook County and Maine fashion, sort of pull together and make sure that we're taking care of one another as neighbors. I would also say, Keith, in terms of the title of this show, and I want to be, you know, sharing some proactive opportunities. One of the things that through our support and partnership with Maine Housing that we're able to do as community action agencies is through some funding through the HEAP program known as Assurance 16, many of our community action agencies are providing comprehensive services to households that include providing a weatherization kit. So we heard the caller earlier who was awaiting a comprehensive weatherization. Those individuals are able to connect with our CAP agencies and have the opportunity to sign up for Assurance 16 services, which beyond the weatherization, the sort of the initial like bringing in of a kit and doing some remediation work with the household, will allow them to access programs in our agency like financial literacy and full coaching and early care and education and workforce development to really do what Assurance 16 looks to do, which is to reduce a household's reliance on energy, but also to reduce the reliance on programs like the Home Energy Assistance Program by helping both to make their home more energy efficient, but also to increase some earned income in the household. So that's really the CAP agency doing what a CAP agency does best, to help households achieve economic and social mobility. And so I'd share that. And so, again, the hope is that we're going to raise awareness and we're going to make folks come together as a community.
Okay. And with that, that will be our final word. Thanks to all of my guests today, Andy Meyer with Efficiency Maine, Sarah Johnson with Maine Housing, and Jason Parent with the Aroostook County Action Program. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn, and you can visit mainecalling.org for our audio archive and to subscribe to Maine Calling's weekly newsletter. Tomorrow on the program, reaction to tonight's presidential debate. Share your thoughts on the debate by using the Maine Public Vox Pop app. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.